coffee is hot. The coffee's strong, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be episode 32, the Kari Lehtinen episode of Sing on the Biscuit podcast. How many pucks is he letting in tonight? This is Dave's idea.
It's going to be hard when we get into the 40s.
Who was number 40? Johnny Graham, 49, when he was in Boston and Carolina. I don't know if there's any other 40s. Devin Dubnyk, number 40.
Okay.
With Edmonton and Minnesota. That might be kind of tough. 41, Mike Smith, one of my favorite goalies.
Had a goaltender wear 47 when I played midget hockey with him. Thought that was kind of weird.
Somebody's wearing 47 right now. I can't remember who. All these Europeans, they're coming in wearing weird numbers. You notice that as well?
Well, can I tell you a quick story? So Craig Heisinger, whose son is now general manager of the Winnipeg Ice, the Western Hockey League team. Craig Heisinger is the general manager of the Manitoba Moose. When he was younger, he got him interested in the industry by having him help out with training camp and whatnot. And he's like, okay, make sure these guys have these numbers and then just, you know, assign whatever numbers to these guys. He's like, why? Why does a certain guy get certain numbers? He's like, you kind of base the guys that are just kind of there to fill gaps, like, you know, like anywhere in like the from 50 to 70. Those are just people there just to kind of fill ice for training camp. The rest of them we're actually looking at. So I kind of thought, oh, okay. And then he happened to have a tryout about 3 weeks later for, I think it was Bantam Hockey or something. And he went to the dressing room, and there was a jersey there for him, and it was like number 53. And he's all bummed out, and he's like, "What's the matter?" He's like, "I hope this team doesn't pick teams like you do, Dad." I heard Zinger tell that story at a dinner one night, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. By the way, shout out to the Winnipeg Ice, by the way, who are first team to get to 50 wins in the Western Hockey League this year. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they're just rolling through the Western League schedule this year. They're on fire. Also, shout out to my boy. Owen Pickering, 21st overall pick by the Pittsburgh Penguins last year. Little quick story on him while I finish my coffee here. So Picks goes 21st overall to Pittsburgh last year in the draft. I got to meet him, I think, 2, maybe 3 weeks before he got drafted. Great kid, very, very humble, just as big as me, 6'5", monster D-man, shoots the puck like a forward. Mm-hmm. So he gets drafted, signs his entry-level contract. He gets 97 Gs up front, just sign on the dotted line. Here you go, Mr. Pickering. Here's 97 Gs. And so I asked him one of the skates. I think he just buried one, like, glove side of me. I said, hey, Pixie, come here. What's up, Trev? At 97 Gs, what did you do with it? He's like, that's right into the bank, baby. I'm not spending that money.
Buddy of mine did the same thing. He got great advice from his father. He was in the, I think he was drafted 10th or just outside of the 10th overall, Nathan Smith, and he, by the Vancouver Canucks. And his dad said, you know what? Take 5K, go out and have fun with your friends, but put the rest in the bank, and we'll talk later about the right investments. And they bought a couple of duplexes and condos and whatnot, and that he ended up having a cup of coffee in the NHL. Like, he didn't even have a long career. I think he played less than 20 games in the show, but that initial investment, that initial money, has carried him on for decades past, you know, his playing career, and it will so for the future. And it's mind-blowing sometimes to see all this money just get absolutely thrown out the window right away. Rory McIlroy said the first thing he did is he went and bought a watch, but he bought a watch that he knew would be a good investment.
Like a Rolex that kind of appreciates over time?
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to a car that appreciates, or even a house to an extent.
The house would. A car, yeah, you're losing about half of that value driving right off the lot.
Kind of the same with hockey equipment. Second you take it out of the box.
Speaking of hockey, speaking of which, I'm wearing my Warrior toque. Because you're all warriored up now, so I got my Warrior toque on today for you.
Yeah, I got the Warrior sticks, Warrior gloves, Warrior pads coming. So I'm going to be decked out in a lot of Warrior, Fed-sponsored Warrior athlete right here.
Nice.
not official. That's not an official thing. It's just, as we mentioned in last week's episode, the FPHL is a Warrior-only league. So as a member of the league, I get discounts. So I get like 60% off. I get like a full set for under $2,000 Canadian, head to toe, and gets done up pretty quickly. I mean, as a pro order, and yeah, it's awesome. It's great. VIP treatment over at Warrior Hockey. And,
good friend of mine, John Arnott, used to represent them in the Prairies for a long time.
And John's still working there. John still works for Warrior. He's a great guy.
Good, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, and shout out to Johnny if you're listening, I believe he got diagnosed with cancer, I think it was 3 years ago, and he beat it. I can't remember what kind of cancer it was, but he beat it, and I believe he's back on the job now, stronger than ever at Warrior. He used to be a really jacked guy. I haven't seen him in about 4 years, but shout out to you, Johnny, if you're listening.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen that guy. I actually think it was pre-pandemic since I saw him last. So love you, Johnny. Good boy. Good guy. Seen him on the golf course a bunch, and yeah, hell of a guy. One of those salt of the earth kind of guys.
Yeah, shout out to him. Also, a little note from last week's episode. So I know you grilled me on my haircut on the West Coast limo at the Supercuts, kind of hanging my head out the side and hoping for the best buzz possible. I got shit on all week last week for my haircut. I got one compliment, though. You want to know who it came from?
Your girlfriend.
No, no. She was headlining the operation to get me to grow my hair back. Matt Murray, starting away for the Toronto Maple Leafs, really enjoyed my fade. That was actually one of the first things he said to me when we hung out the other day.
Yeah, that makes sense. You goalies are weird and you stick together in your weirdness.
She says, well, it's a fresh fade. I said, yeah, I got it just for you yesterday. And then the second that came out of my mouth, I was like, oh no, I shouldn't have said that.
Song's faded, but I'm deadpan waiting for an avalanche.
it was nice hanging out with Matt Murray. I was kind of shocked at just how much we had in common. I had some really, really good conversation. I think we spent a good chunk of the afternoon talking politics, which was something we don't talk about on the show, but it was kind of enjoyable. And had a good conversation, crushed some coffee, crushed some Timbits at Tim Hortons. One of the things he says to me, we go to Tim Hortons just off of West Cordova, downtown Vancouver, order a couple of birthday cake Timbits. That's his go-to flavor. I got a dark roast double-double. He gets a normal double-double. They pan me the coffees. I hand them back to him, and he says, what is this shit? And it's the cardboard lid on top of the cup. They got the normal cups, but with the cardboard lid. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I'm old enough to remember when paper was the problem and plastic was the answer. Believe me. Save the trees, no more paper bags, we gotta move the plastic. And now we're just, it's cyclical. But do you end up going to the game, by the way? Did you see the game between the Leafs and the Canucks?
I did go to the game, actually. This is a true story. Nice. Shout out to my buddy Wes Howerton. Remember we talked about him maybe a couple episodes ago about him going to Germany, kind of getting stiffed on his contract and not paying him out, and then he goes to Sweden. Well, he comes back home, done the season. He scored us two tickets to the Leafs-Canucks game. He traded a hockey stick for the two tickets. That is a true story. It wasn't a high-end Bauer stick. I think it was like a $200 Bauer stick. Here's the stick, two tickets in the 320 section at Rogers Arena the other
day. Well, I was going to say that's a good trade, but two tickets, upper deck.
Now, here's this is a podcast exclusive. We're not going to tell this on the clips or on the YouTube shorts because I'm going to get in big shit for saying this, but this is what I've noticed in the last year and a half. NHL games, I think attendance is down. In Canada, just everywhere across the board. Mm-hmm. Inflation is high. Ticket prices are going up.
Yep.
People can't afford to spend $500 for a family of four to go to a game, realistically speaking. So there's lots of empty seats. So this is what I've been doing. So we go to the game. The tickets were free because, again, Wes traded one of his sticks for the tickets. But even if we did pay, we go to the game. We go down to the glass for warm-ups or wherever you can. I had to sit up, I think, higher 100s because the whole Leafs Nation was around the glass for warm-ups, so it was tough. I'll put a video on the screen, the video podcast. But we sit at the first period in the 300 section, and we scout from the 300 section down below what is available. We see a cluster of three, cluster of two, cluster of four. Then we go on Ticketmaster. We look at what's available because you can still buy tickets, I think, till the end of the second period. We see what tickets are available in the 100 section, and it'll tell you what row, what seats are still available for purchase. And then we look, okay, there's row 10. That's where we're going to go sit, and then we just kind of scout from there. And so for the second and third period, we got, I think, row 20, maybe 25 in the 100 section, 105, 106, whatever it was in Rogers Arena. Great seats, although there was one guy that maybe had a couple too many wobbly pops beside us and was shouting absurdities all night.
Obscenities, yeah. There you go.
Obscenities, there we go. Maybe I've had a few too many this morning as well. But overall, the game was great. I was really really impressed with Matt's performance. Now, I know him and I were texting the other day, and I told him, I was like, apologies, I know this is coming from a Fed Zeno goalie, but you look really good. Like, the dude's coming off an injury. You're probably going to be a little bit hesitant. Do I want to mess around with that? But looked great. Looked really in control. A lot of really challenging saves. He made this one 2-on-0 save. I don't know if you end up seeing it on the Hockey Night in Canada highlights, but 2-on-0, wide open net, stretched the toe across. The dude's 6'5", by the way. I didn't realize this until I met him the other day. I always thought he was like a 6'2"-ish guy. I think he's bigger than me. Like, he's a massive human being, but he gets the toe across in this 2-on-0 save, keeps the game scoreless. He was fantastic. I know the Leafs got blown out 4-1 by the Canucks, but I thought personally Matt Murray was the first star of that game.
Well, listen, you talk about injuries and goalies. It's something I want to talk about a little bit later on in the show because I don't think you can call it an epidemic. I mean, you can if you want to use it as a euphemism. But a buddy of mine who's nothing more than a beer league goaltender, like he's a former junior goaltender, he's in his mid-30s, and he's having to go for a very similar hip surgery that you had. And he's just playing, beer league hockey. And he's having the same kind of stuff you had. And I kind of thought, well, then it's not necessarily a professional thing. It might just be a goaltender thing. And I have a theory on that. I kind of want to give to you a little bit later on to see what you think of it. But it seems to be more and more common, and I have somebody to blame about the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to get to that later. You don't want to get into that right now?
It's your call. It's your call. If you really think it's that poignant, then I can bring it up now.
Well, why don't we do it now? But first, why don't we get you into a pair of Sheath underwear from the team at Sheath, the best underwear money can buy, from their bamboo cooling mesh to the separated, segregated dual pouch technology to make sure your twig and your biscuits do not stick to the side of your leg and stick to one another. They're compartmentalized and they're aerated. Only at Sheath.
I actually got a couple of my buddies onto it. They started ordering it. True story. We may or may not have been into a few pops one night, and I was trying to sell them on it. And like, I don't get it. And so I literally said, fine. You don't understand. So I dropped trow so I could, like, so the underwear, like, came inside out. Like, see? That's where that goes. In that little hole, that's where that goes. And they went, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Sometimes you just have to see it. So go check out the website. It'll make a lot more sense. We can talk about it all we want. But until you actually see it and put it on, you go, oh, yeah. Like Ace Ventura used to say, like a glove.
And even if you're like Mr. Dave Wheeler and you got a piece of cauliflower growing on the end of it, it's still separated. It's still segregated. It's the sheath promise. And you can go to sheathunderwear.com right now and use the code BISCUIT69. That'll get you 20% off the best underwear the money can buy. There's a link in the video description on the YouTube video version and on the podcast notes. If you're in the car, pull over when safe to do so. Or if you're at the gym at the end of your set, pull over, take a look, and click on that link, and that'll get you the best pricing for 20% off the best underwear that money can buy. Only at Sheath Underwear.
Can't stop progress, can you? You can't stop progress, right?
I do have to give a shout-out to, I can't remember his name. I had a pencil in the notes. I think I deleted it by accident. But one of the viewers from last week messaged me and said, Trav, I got a pair of Sheath Underwear, and I got to say, like, this thing is looking, it's looking like a package. It's looking big. It's looking so juicy. I might actually sell some advertising space on there. Like, you have opened up a new realm of financial prosperity for me.
Sheath underwear does to the front for men what yoga pants do to the back for women. How about that?
Makes it look 20% better.
Right. Yeah. Just kind of brings everything in.
We're all just in need of a little bit of a fluffing every now and then.
Sheath underwear. It is progress in the male underwear game. That's for sure. And they have bralettes for women too. Go check out the website and put in the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT. Speaking of progress, you can't stop progress, even in the game of hockey. Things are moving forward. We don't use wood sticks anymore. There's not a single guy in the league that uses a wood stick. Back in the 80s, there was a gentleman that came into the league and completely revolutionized goaltending. His name was Patrick Roy. And he came up with a style called the butterfly. Back in the day, skate save. Like, nobody makes a skate. The only time you're making a skate save now, if you're a goaltender, is if you're flopping around on your belly and you happen to kick your leg up behind you and you happen to save one. And they go, oh my God, I skate. That's the only time. Back in the old days, you would slide your skate across the ice if somebody was putting along the ice and boom, what a skate save. And you see the inside of the leg. They don't do that anymore. It's the butterfly. Everything. And that's why, going back to your theory of big goaltenders, that's why they like big goaltenders. Because when you go down to the butterfly, you put your shoulders up, you're still covering the corners, right?
Correct.
Okay. Speaking of yoga, name me a stretch in yoga anywhere where they're like, all right, take your heel and push it out as far as you can in front of you to really extend that hip. They don't. There's not one. There's not. There's other ones that you can stretch for certain areas, but no way are they trying to get you to put your leg into an L and take your heel and push it out and almost hyperextend not only your hip but your knee. That style of goaltending is ruining goaltenders' bodies.
I couldn't agree more. A couple notes to think about on that front. Like, my surgeon, who we talked about a couple episodes ago, so this is a newer surgery. So the surgery's only existed, I believe, in the last like 15-ish years, where they've really started getting good at it, to the point where my current surgeon, this is his Monday to Friday. Like, this is what he does, is the exact surgery on my hip for like the internal rotation, which I think should give you an idea of how many people are coming up with these issues and how much of a problem it really is becoming. Because you just mentioned your friend who played a little bit of junior hockey, now plays in the men's league. Me, myself, playing, you know, minor pro, or some of the other, you know, National Hockey League goalies. I know you're friends with Corey Schneider. Yeah. I've, you know, been lucky enough to talk to a couple different NHL goalies.
Well,
not
it's
all
funny,
of them, but a handful.
He actually came to me saying, do you mind if I talk to Corey? And I was, I'm actually going to put him on to you, because between the two of you, you could probably give him all of the insight. But yeah, like, he's like, I'm a little worried about this. Like, I still got to go to work and stuff. Like, this is not, I don't care about improving my hockey at all, but like, this is deterring me from working.
With goaltending, it's so internally rotationally focused. Like you just mentioned, name me one sport where like the internal rotation of, we're going to take your knee, take it to the inside, flare out your heel, and we're going to add some flexion on top of it. And you have to be able to move while doing it. Like, there's no other sport.
Yeah, not even
no
gymnastics. And they're nothing. Like basically contortionists.
There's nothing that simulates that. And it's just so challenging on the body. And it's interesting because all these athletes, whether you're elite level or not, are growing these femoral bone growths, just like mine. Some guys on both hips, some guys bigger, some guys smaller. The labrums are tearing, the cartilage is breaking down, and all these guys are having to, some of them are retiring early. I mean, this is apples to oranges, but Colton Point, you ever remember him? He played for the World Juniors Team Canada a couple years ago, 24 years old, just announced retirement from pro hockey at 24 years old the other day. So I'm not saying that's hip related, but guys are retiring early and there's a lot of damage and a lot of people don't understand. Like I mentioned, when I got the surgery, our top defenseman in Motor City, when he's like, Trav, what's going on? I heard you're done for the season. What's going on, buddy? And I explained to him, I show him the x-ray, like, look, this is what's going on. And he says, have you tried stretching? Have you thought about physio? Yes, I've tried it all for years. But the problem is people don't understand. It's like a concussion. So I've never had a concussion personally. I understand they're a serious deal. But unless I've actually had the concussion and kind of gone through the symptoms, I don't truly understand. So for me to tell our defenseman, who is not a goaltender or anybody who hasn't done this, to say that, hey, there's a bone growth that clamps in my hip and restricts my movement, and I feel this pinching and this tearing kind of going through my groin area. Oh, we'll just stretch. Well, they don't understand that. Nobody understands that except for the people that are going through it. And like you said earlier, this is an epidemic going on in goaltending, and hopefully in the next 10 years it gets addressed to like, hey, like we should try to cater our gear towards helping guys. And I'm trying to make some modifications to help me come back.
How do you fix that? Because like you said, you have to be able to go down to a butterfly and then extend your heels out and be able to kick pucks out if they're going left or right and get your shoulders up. Like there's no way, unless somebody comes up with another revolutionary style where you goaltenders don't have to do that. That is the gold standard of goaltending in hockey around the world.
I'm just spitballing ideas here, and I don't think this would ever come into play, but what if like a Major League Baseball kind of approach where you got like six goaltenders, you got one for a Monday, one for a Tuesday, one for a Wednesday, and that's how you save hip longevity. I know a lot of guys would be pissed off with that because you're only starting 10 games out of an 80-game season, but tailoring the gear. I know one idea that I talked to with one goalie recently was, so in the butterfly, especially when you have a long shin, like I'm a big guy, I have longer shins, and so everything is parallel, right? So like your ankle, your knee, your hip, everything is parallel. And you're driving that force down through the hip and through the knee. But if you add a little bit of elevation to the knee area, so instead of being parallel with the ice, you're more like up. So your ankle, your knee, and then your hip, you kind of disperse the strain evenly as opposed to just driving through to one joint. That's one way that he found reduce some of that strain.
Travis Ridgen, there's no way they would ever, ever go for it. But that is actually not a terrible idea, and let me walk you through how my brain's working right now, okay? As it stands right now, you can only have a roster of so many, and then you can have black aces up in the rafters if you need to, and then you can have your minor league teams. If you could extend that to saying every team in the league has to have eight goaltenders, and they have to play X amount of games, you have to rotate them through, you could have your one marquee goaltender that maybe plays 20, but the other ones have to rotate in. Like, it's a must for the safety because the amount of surgeries that are going on, the NHL's always wanted more scoring. That's the way to do it. You want higher scoring games? Rotate your goaltenders more. That's not a terrible idea, man. And then play playoffs, play whoever you want, obviously. But there's no way they'd ever go for it.
I just want to say for the record, there was some information that I was told by an NHL goalie very recently. I was asked not to repeat it, so I'm not going to repeat it, but there's some very interesting ideas and some inner workings going on in both in the National Hockey League with some different elements, and hopefully I can share that sometime this summer, maybe with a conversation with that individual, but maybe we'll leave that for now.
Wow, so nothing? Listen, I heard something, and I was told not to repeat it, so I'm not going to repeat it. Let's move on. Wow, you know what? You are perfect for politics. You should run for prime minister.
Mr. Speaker, we care about Canadians in Canada.
I don't want to get into the politics. Don't get me fired up. Not today.
This is not politically related. I have to mention, I saw this skit the other day on YouTube. It came up my recommendations. It was two guys playing Doug Ford and Justin Trudeau, and they're going back and forth. And Doug comes in and is like, hey, JT, I'm doing a donut tasting contest today. You want to come? And he's like, Doug, this is not in the best interest of Canada. And as somebody who represents Canadians, I will not do that.
Jeepers, Murphy.
It's a whole, it's very funny. Doug Ford, JT, Justin Trudeau. Man, what a good looking man. I know maybe we're not the biggest fans of him, but God, what a good looking man.
Nice hair, though.
He is.
Tell him to get a commercial. Tell him to get a high fade like you.
You imagine JT with the fade? As opposed, oh, remember that Dumb and Dumber haircut he got over the summer with the bowl cut?
Yeah. That was when he was coming off the pandemic beard.
I actually didn't mind him with the beard, to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of Justin Trudeau clean shaven. I think he looks good with the beard. I don't mind the goatee. I think he got a little bit too much length there. Maybe he got to clean up the mop up top. But all in all, let's be honest, he's a very good looking man. Like, he's a charming guy. Like I watch him on the news sometimes. I'm like, God, almost like the Ted Bundy effect. Like he's so apples to oranges, but
just a sociopathic too. See, you're getting me involved in politics. What are you doing? I told you not to do it.
Well, why don't we transition here? Some good stuff coming up soon. So I'm going to be skating in 4 weeks. This is confirmed by my physiotherapist last night after we talked. A little bit disappointing. I wanted to go just in skates last week, but we're going to go straight into full gear as of April the 6th. And the reason being, I don't have my gear. I left all my equipment in Winnipeg. I only have my skates because the missus wanted to do a little skating date right before I got my surgery. So she had my skates here and we did that before the New Year's. But I'm taking the train back on the 27th back to
Winnipeg.
Back to Winnipeg.
Oh, we get to do a show together. Hey! Yep.
Yes, which I'm very excited for. So I'm going to go home, get my gear, go home for a week, do our live show. Maybe that's a good idea. We should do, maybe we could do like our normal recordings in studio at the Energy 106 Studios. And then maybe on the Sling the Biscuit Instagram page, we could do like an Instagram live for the show and just like a behind the scenes for anybody interested. What do you think of that, Dave? I know we talked about doing a live show. You like that idea?
When it comes to the whole social media stuff, I will lean on you and Tyler Carr because I'm so out of that game now, I wouldn't even know how to log in.
I think it'd be interesting. Well, we can do that. We're also going to be working on a little bit of a behind the scenes kind of Sling the Biscuit exclusive for 1 year with Dave and I. Also seen my good looking, beautiful Justin Trudeau, like surgeon, who has an amazing jawline. When he pulls down his mask, I think, God damn, look at that jawline. It's like the, you know, the crimson chin in Fairly Odd Parents, the crimson chin, that guy? No.
It's not fair to be that good looking and that and have a PhD. Like, if you have a PhD, you got to be ugly. It's not fair.
I don't know. I don't mind having a good looking surgeon. I mean, if you look like a thumb, I mean, it'd be kind of tough, but he's a. God, he's a good looking. Shout out to Doctor, you know your name,
Doctor Dreamy, Doctor McDreamy. We'll throw a shout out to the old what was it that show? Not Ally McBeal, the Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, at the Pan Am Clinic. Shout out to you. Also, on the traveling note, this is a little personally. I'm really excited for. So I'm going to be coming back on the 3rd of April on the train again to come back home for April the 6th, where I'll start skating. But my dad and I are doing a father son trip. I've been trying to do something to spend some time with my dad for a while. I know he's getting older. I know my dad's going to listen to this, and he's probably going to like punch a stereo when he hears this. But realistically speaking, my dad is going to die one day, right? Like all of our parents are going to die one day.
We're all going to die one day. Don't you put that curse on him.
But I want to spend some real quality time with my dad before that happens. So we booked an awesome train trip. We're going to do the train for 2.5 days from Winnipeg to Vancouver. And then he's going to be here for, I think, 2.5-3 days. We're going to do some cool, fun Vancouver activities, show him Stanley Park, the Vancouver Lookout, the seawall, all of the fun stuff, because he really hasn't spent much time here. And then I'm going to send him back on the Saturday, flying back to Winnipeg. And that's exciting. And then a little side note as well. I don't know if I mentioned last week. I'm going to be in Halifax for a week and a bit. Jack Hardigan, he coaches over in the Dell, the top league in Germany. And he invited me to come back and train with him for a little bit in July. So we're going to be doing that for a week and a half, which I'm really, really excited for. The overnight, 6.5-hour flight, the red eye from Vancouver to Halifax, there for a week and a half. And then the train back Halifax to Montreal, the day trip. I actually just booked the ticket this morning in the sleeper class. And then a little economy ticket from Montreal to Toronto, where I got to meet my beautiful girlfriend for one of her friend's weddings, which I promised I was going to attend. So trying to be... trying to get the training done and try to be a good man to my woman. By the way, speaking of which, I got to mention this real quick. So I mentioned to her about I'm going to be doing the trip from Halifax into Montreal in the province of Quebec. And she told me recently, she says, you know, I always thought as a kid when Quebec wanted to separate from Canada, kind of become their own country, she's like, they're just going to like move the province out. Like there's just going to be this giant hole. Like you have the Hudson Bay in the, you know, northern Canada, that hole, and then the Quebec, a further bigger hole. Like they're just going to like take like a crane or something, just hoist it over. And you know, I don't know where they wanted to relocate or move to, but yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. I thought that was funny. God bless my woman.
It reminds me of an old joke we used to tell up in Alberta because we had a lot of Newfoundlanders up there, and then unfortunately they were the butt of the jokes more often than not. And that was when that whole thing was going on just shortly after the Meech Lake Accord and then the referendum in Quebec. The joke was, why do the Newfies want Quebec to separate? I think it'll be a shorter drive to Toronto, bud. Yeah, get them out of there. Connect them together, shorter drive, let's go.
It would be nice if they had a high-speed train there. I know we've been talking about trains a lot the last couple episodes, but if they had a high-speed train, Canada's the only country in the G7 that
you're Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. It's fine. Everyone accepts that now.
I just need to point out before we move on, and I apologize to people that are tired of me talking about trains, but Canada is the only country in the G7 that does not have some form of a high-speed rail network. And I was talking to my boy Sweens at, you know, I played with him at VIU, and he came with me in Sweden for 1 year. But I asked him, I said, Sweens, if there's a high-speed rail network in Canada that could take you from Vancouver to Calgary, Calgary to Winnipeg, and then all the way, you know, to Halifax and back, would you take it? And he said, if it was fast, if it was affordable, and it was efficient, sure, why not? Like, if you could do Vancouver in 36 hours, if you could do coast to coast in 2.5 days, not 7 like it takes right now, why not? And I thought, yeah, like, why would they not do that? Like, if you don't own a vehicle, which I don't, and if you don't like flying, which I don't, then you're kind of screwed. Like, sorry, kick rocks, buddy. Go fly or you can walk.
Well, from what I understand, and I know this isn't every contract, but I know there's been a handful of contracts where a Canadian company, Bombardier, builds high-speed trains for the high-speed tram line in Japan, and they ship them over by boat. So we have the capability. It's just, are we willing to pay for it? They talked for years. I mean, growing up in Alberta with the amount of oil money that was there and the amount of business between Edmonton and Calgary, they talked about building like a high-speed monorail, one way in, one way out, like get you from Edmonton to Calgary in 45. That would be incredible. And just for the, yeah, I got a meeting in Calgary today. I'll be back tonight, usual time. No big deal. It'd be incredible. But they just never pulled the trigger on it. We have, the size of our country, we have one of the worst rail setups. I'm not saying the rail experience is bad, but just a bad setup as far as where it's going and what they're dragging through instead of focusing more on passengers. And that's the reason why that in Canada, for those U.S. listeners, you would be amazed at how much we pay to get on an airplane for a simple 2-hour flight. Like you jump on a JetBlue, you can go from Pittsburgh to Cleveland for like 50, 60 bucks. You're looking at $500 for the same distance. It's mind-blowing, and it's because they're the only game in town because nobody wants to take the train because it doesn't save time.
Well, and the same thing in Europe. Like you can go Stockholm to Gothenburg for like 40 bucks, and it's a 40-minute flight. It's incredible. And to your point, though, with the whole Calgary-Edmonton thing, this does border political, and apologies in advance, but in 1990, so there was two train routes, one that went on the current northern route that kind of avoided the whole Trans-Canada except for touching in Winnipeg, and then the second route that did the whole Trans-Canada. So it went, you know, Montreal, Toronto, you know, Sault Ste. Marie, Thunder Bay, Winnipeg, Regina, Calgary, Banff, you know, Kelowna, and Vancouver. And they cut it in 1990. They said, well, there's not enough business, nobody's taking it. Well, in 1990, when they cut it, 500,000 passengers went through the Calgary route in that previous year, and then only 100,000+ went through the Edmonton route. So you could say it's political. I do believe it is, but it would be nice if they came up with something because, you know, for example, my girlfriend, Victoria, she wants to move to Revelstoke. Like that's what she likes. She wants to be in a small little mountain town. And I said, well, honey, if that happens, you're going to have to drive me to Calgary to fly, or you're going to have to drive me to Kelowna to fly. I don't have a vehicle. Also, how do you get in and out? Like, there's no airport. There's no train. The train used to go through there. Like, that would be, it would solve so many problems for people that maybe they can't afford the rising prices of gas. They can't afford to own a vehicle. They can't, all these types of things. Like I would love to see a high-speed rail network that, you know, can take me in and out wherever I want to go in Canada. But hey,
well, that's wishful thinking. That's because she's expecting your injured ass to make the NHL so she can helicopter in and out. Duh. Isn't that obvious?
She wants to take the chopper.
Yeah.
Get in the chopper if you want to live. Get to the chopper. Get your ass to Mars. Speaking of which, we got some Fed Zeno news. Why don't we actually talk about some hockey stuff? You want to get into that? We got some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some
I actually saw that your team, the Motor City Rockers, I was, because they're still popping up on my algorithm, the play-by-play guy, I can't remember his name. What's his name?
Ben Solagi.
Yeah, he was talking about how there's a, hey, come down, see a game. Ticket prices are getting slashed.
Yes, they are doing, now, I want to be very respectful about this. I was asked a few times in Motor City, hey, Trav, you got any ideas for how we could bring more people to the rink? And I said, yep, get a pen and paper. I got lots of ideas. They're implementing an idea this weekend, which, shout out to Motor City for finally doing this, because this is, I think, what's going to help bring people in the door. They're doing a pay-what-you-want promotional night. So obviously this podcast goes up on Sunday, so the promotion will be done by the time it goes up. But on Friday night, when the Columbus River Dragons come to town, you come to the ticket office and say, I'll give you 10 cents, I'll give you a dollar, I'll give you $100. Whatever you want to pay, you can pay that price for the tickets, which is incredible. Now, I'm curious if free is a part of that. Like, you come to the ticket office and you're like, I don't want to pay. Okay, well, here's two tickets. You pay what you want. So I don't know what's going to happen.
That's like saying, I remember I was at a golf tournament one time, and we had a closest to the pin competition, and a guy got a hole in one, and he won. And the guy that was closest to, he's like, it was a closest to the pin competition, not a hole in one competition. And they're like, oh, okay, you're being kind of a jerk. It's still pay what you want, not get in free night. So yes, there still has to be some sort of transaction.
But on the promotional advertising that they did, I looked and there was no fine print for like a minimum price. So I don't know if they've been told what the minimum price is. Like, if I offer you a dollar, you say, no, it's got to be $5. So pay what you want, $5 and up. I don't know what the specifications are, but I think it's good. And hopefully they can bring in some people into the Motor City. I know that they've been averaging, at least on the attendance record, it says 800 people. If they can't pack the arena with pay what you want or pay what you want night, it might be kind of concerning.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, hey, listen, step in the right direction, because you want people in the seats, and if they have a good time, they might come back.
Hopefully. There is some more Fed Zeno news. We have Columbus, the River Dragons. They had the first ever sellout in Fed Zeno history. Now, granted, they did military night, and they brought in a bunch of the military to, you know, pack some of the seats, but they had, I believe, 10,000 people, standing room only, for the first ever sellout. So congrats to Columbus and the River Dragons there in Georgia for the sellout. This is interesting. The Elmira Mammoth roll in the Watertown. Their team bus gets impounded in the parking lot because they're driving without insurance and proper licensing.
This is the same team that forgot their jerseys.
Yep, they forgot their jerseys and they forgot to top up the insurance as well. This is a true story. I'll tell you this, Dave, and I don't know if I should admit this, but I think we're in the clear. 2021, I came back from Sweden. My truck didn't have any insurance on it while I was gone. It was just like storage insurance. I came back. I renewed my insurance only for a month because I thought I was going to be home. They're going to, you know, bring back the season and we'll carry on. Well, when you do month-to-month insurance, they don't give you a notification like, hey, you owe us some money. Like, it just expires. So it's middle of March, and I get pulled over outside of a TD Bank, like pulled off on the road. I pull into the TD Bank, like right in the parking lot, and an officer pulls me over, and he says, hey, you don't have any insurance. And I was like, what do you mean? Of course I have insurance. And he's like, he pulls up my information. He's like, you don't have any active insurance, buddy. You can't be driving this thing without insurance. And so I guess I didn't top up the insurance. So I ended up, long story short, he was very nice, gave me a nice little $750 ticket. Oof. And I had to, I will say, I deserve an Oscar for the performance I put on over the phone, because obviously during the COV, there was no in-person hearing. So over the phone, I put on an Oscar-worthy performance for why they should be giving me, getting off the ticket or cheaper. Wiggled it down to $100. But the officer let me leave my truck in the TD parking lot, and I walked to the MPI maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes down the road, top up the insurance, came back, and was on my way. But it made me realize that in the, you know, period of time that I didn't have any insurance, I did two road trips to Calgary, like one to Calgary and back and one to Banff and back with no insurance at all. And I didn't realize this. So it could have ended up really, really poorly. I don't know why I should be admitting that, but yeah.
Well, it's funny. Had you known that you were driving without insurance, you would have probably driven a little tighter. Like, you would have been a little white knuckling on the wheel a bit more, going, I don't have insurance. But the fact that you're a little more carefree, not even thinking about it, just assuming that you were insured, probably did you more safety than not.
That's what I was thinking too. But learned our lesson that when you get month-to-month insurance in Manitoba, you have to top it up. They don't tell you that you owe the money. We also have a little note here. Now, we'll put this up in the video version of the podcast, and I sent Dave this last week. But the Port Huron Prowlers did a third jersey this year. It's like a McDonald's yellow and red jersey, like mustard yellow. Uh-huh. And shout out to one of the fans in the FPHL Minor Pro Trash Talk Facebook forum. They posted this video. But if you ever seen the clip from SpongeBob, the SpongeBob movie where they pull up the hamburger patty to the gas station, they're like, fill her up, please. And the guys at the gas station are like, sure thing, fellas. What'll it be? Mustard or ketchup?
Fill her up, please.
What'll it be, fellas? Mustard or ketchup?
laughing at us?
No, Patrick. They're laughing next to us.
Exact same thing.
Well, it's funny you mentioned SpongeBob because some Western League teams have been wearing SpongeBob SquarePants jerseys this year. I think it's either Kamloops or Kelowna that are next up. But, yeah, I think the Ice actually wore halfway through the season wore SpongeBob jerseys for Nickelodeon Night. Yeah, I love it, man. I think it's great. You know, not all year, obviously, but for a one-off, for a promotion, hell yeah, make some money. Go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, Military Night jerseys, SpongeBob Night, Star Wars Night jerseys, the Teddy Bear Tossers, the million and one great promotions that can be done, and hopefully, I'm looking forward to hopefully being a part of them. I will say, to go back to the Leafs Canucks game for a second, I kind of wish that I didn't go to the game because the atmosphere was great with the fans, and I mean, granted, three quarters of the fans were Toronto fans, and the arena was just packed with Go Leafs Go chants in Vancouver. But it made me think to myself, like, I miss that atmosphere. Like, in Sweden, the hockey's great, don't get me wrong. I love living there, it's fun. But the atmosphere, you can't compare it to the Fed, where, you know, you walk into Watertown when, you know, every blue collar guy in the city who works construction is coming to the arena that Friday night to shit all over me and tell me that I suck. And then we pull out a win. We kill a 6-on-3 penalty with a minute left to squeak out that 7-6 win. Like, that's what I love. And it just made me think, I really wish I could skate and I wish I could be a part of that atmosphere. But I got my busted hip that we're currently rehabbing. So
you're almost there. You're almost there.
We're so close.
Talked
because
about it last
I can
week.
Taste it. It's...
I talked about it last week. I want to get this in before we start wrapping up the show here. But I'll tell you a quick story that when I was the man in the stands for Manitoba Moose games, which, by the way, did you guys have one in the Fed? Did you have someone going around giving away prizes and that kind of stuff when you're in Motor City?
Yeah, we did. We had our media lady, Vanessa. She did the media, she did the photography, and she'd be the woman in the stands.
Okay, I love that. Okay, so when I was the person in the stands, there was once upon a time I get a in my earpiece, it's like, hey, listen, and this is, oh boy, before the Jets came back, so we're talking 17, 18 years ago? Yeah, somewhere around there. How old's Justin Bieber now?
26, maybe around my age.
Okay, so it must have been, yeah, it was a while back. Anywho, he had just been signed. He was just like the biggest craze. I get an earpiece like, hey, Justin Bieber is in one of the boxes tonight. Already set it up. Go interview him in one of the timeouts during the second period. You're only going to have about 2 minutes. Make it quick. And so I scoot up there, knock on the door. And I said, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm Dave. I said, I'm just here to do a quick interview with Justin. And so Scooter Braun, it's like, yeah, come on in. I didn't know it was Scooter Braun at the time, but after realizing who Scooter Braun was, I'm like, hey, that was Scooter Braun. So I walk in, I'm like, hey, Justin, how you doing? I'm Dave. I said, I'm going to be doing a quick interview. I said, anything you want me to ask? Now, keep in mind the reason why he was in Winnipeg, he wasn't even performing, but his dad lives in Winnipeg because his parents split, and his dad was living in Winnipeg and working there, so he was in visiting his dad, so his dad was there and everything. And I said, is there anything
you want to do? Did you go to Kelvin High School or no?
Who?
Justin Bieber, he went to high school in Winnipeg, did he not?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay, never mind. All right, I know nothing. Carry on.
So, Neil Young did, but not Justin Bieber. Two different people. Big age gap there. So, Justin, I says, is there anything in particular you want to ask me, or is there anything you want to say? He's like, yeah, I want to ask all the sexy ladies to come up to my suite. And I kind of went, like, this. He's, what, 14, maybe? Maybe at this point? How long have the Jets been back? It was right before the Jets got back. Anywho, it was a while ago. Okay, so I said, oh, I don't know, Justin, we'd probably have a mad rush of girls running up to your suite if we did that. I don't know if security could handle that. And Scooter Braun goes, yeah, Justin, you wouldn't even know what to do with all of them if they came up here. And he's like, shut up, Scooter. And starts doing like that, you know, preteen thing. And I was like, hey, how about we just keep it simple? And we'd be like, say hello to all your fans and hope you'll be back soon to perform one day in this arena. He's like, yeah, okay, that sounds cool. Just, I don't want to look dumb or anything. And I walked out of there going, this is why we don't give a lot of money to young kids. This is why they should stay in school. Being that old man guy. But I've learned to come around on Justin Bieber, especially with the format that I'm working in now. And I almost feel bad for the guy because of the way he grew up and in that kind of environment and going what he went through and what he's going through now. I feel bad for the guy. Like, man, I would never want my kids to grow up like that. I got an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old, and there's no way I'd hand them over to some record producer and say, yeah, he's talented. Here you go. You can have him.
Honestly, as he's gotten older, I've started to respect him a lot more. I actually do kind of like him. For the amount of paparazzi that are on him, and I'm sure everybody's kind of seen the videos online of the paparazzi with, you know, the camera in his face. Hey, Justin. And he says one little thing, and that's the headline, as opposed to the paparazzi who are asking these just ridiculous questions that are just verbally assaulting him. As you know, previously maybe he would spit on them or throw water or, you know, cuss him out, but like now he's just so calm and so cool. I really respect it. Really respect it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, didn't you get a really cool follow?
Yes, I did actually. But thanks for mentioning this. So, the 2000s band, rock band, Fuel, late 90s, early 2000s, Brett Scallions, lead singer, guitar player, rhythm guitar player, tossed me a follow on Instagram. I've been a fan of their music for a while. If you never heard of Fuel, the their hit song, Hemorrhage in My Hands, Fall on Me, Bad Day, great songs. Very heavy guitar-driven rock by their lead guitar player, Carl, who's obviously no longer with the band. I mean, the band's blown up now, but Dave, correct me if you disagree. They have Creed vibes, like that heavy drop down feel that Creed always had.
It was that late 90s, early 2000s sounds. Kind of sometimes you end up being a product of your producer more often than not. But I've got I loved that band back when I was in college. My best buddy in college and I in radio college, his name was Jarrett, and we just had this thing, and it wasn't even something that we planned. It just happened. If we were coming home, like this song was huge, like huge back in 99 to 2000. Massive song on the radio, rock radio, every, you know, fifth song, this, you know, Hemorrhage in My Hand was coming on. And so we'd always say, hey, throw on CJ92 in Calgary, please, if you don't mind, when we were in the cab heading home from the bar. And that song would come on, and as soon as it came on, we'd go, hey, can you turn that up a little bit, please? The cab driver says, sure. So he'd turn it up a little bit, and then we'd sit there, and we wouldn't say a word. We just wouldn't say a word until the chorus kicked in, and both of us at the same time, leave life bleeding in my hands, and just at the top of our lungs, we literally had cab drivers going, what is going on? going over the Main Street Bridge in Calgary. Ooh, that was some funny times. Yeah, I have very fond memories of that band. They grew up in a very small town in Tennessee that only had one street light, if I remember correctly. I make it stay wrong.
Brett Scallions did. Yeah. With the when the cab driver's asking what's going on, well, memories are just where you lead them. Leave them.
That's a pretty cool follow, man. Reach out to him. Tell him to come on the podcast. I'd love to talk some rock and roll with that guy.
I actually was exchanging some messages with him the other day. He's got a new project in the works that is coming out hopefully soon. I asked him if he's touring Canada. He says, love Canada. Didn't really give me an answer. Almost like our good-looking boy, JT. Kind of gave me an answer, but didn't answer the question.
Kind of like, like what Michael B. Jordan did on Kimmel there a couple weeks ago.
Do you like Winnipeg?
Yeah,
or do you hate Winnipeg?
No, it's like not. Does Michael B. Jordan love Winnipeg? I don't not love Winnipeg.
It's like, what is Winnipeg? I just one little note on the Fuel Brett Scallions thing. I never understood this. So he plays guitar in the band and sings at the same time. If you watch any live performances, he's got some good style when he's doing it. In all the music videos, he never has a guitar. They strip the guitar away, and it's just Carl, their lead guitar player, and then Brett is singing. And I thought that the music videos just do him a huge disservice because he's actually a decent guitar player, but I don't know why they took the guitar away. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to send him a message and ask him, hey, man, like, why did you never play the guitar in the music videos? Because I know you did live and, you know, you know how to play in the band. So,
because when you're shooting a video, you want that. You want to connect with the lead singer and you want them kind of like, rah! You want them here. You don't want them here. It's very, true. Very, very few and far between can pull it off.
Only Scott Stapp that I can think of can pull it off with arms wide open.
Oh, boy. Let's wrap this up before we start doing karaoke.
Speaking of arms wide open, last little note, at least that I had here in the notes, this is interesting news. Now, to go back to what we mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, at VIU, at Vancouver Island University, my boy Sweens and I, when I wasn't playing, we used to have a joke, a little inside secret. One of us would ask, hey, what time is it, right? So Sweens, what time is it in Victoria? Oh, it's 10 past Huber. Oh, it's 8 past Clark, depending on, you know, which goalie we were starting that night, because I always thought I deserved maybe a little bit more playing time than I got. But a little inside joke that came from the Canucks Bruins series when all the Bruins fans were saying, hey, what time is it in Boston? Oh, it's 8 past Luongo, you know? So have you never heard of that one before?
I have. You just reminded me of it. I like Lou so much, I try and forget those jokes.
But on the VIU topic, so if you've been following the news lately,
oh, there's boy, a girl. Going here? Are we going here?
We're going to mention it. Okay. We're going to mention it. He's never getting out of jail, so we can mention this now. He's not going to show up in my apartment. So in the news, there was a girl, 23 years old, from BC. She went down to Mexico, I guess, for her birthday weekend or whatever. Beautiful young girl. And long story short, her boyfriend whacked her in Mexico. I guess they found the body outside of the hotel, found it. Oh, she's dead. Boyfriend killed her. Turns out, I played college hockey with him at VIU. Now, They haven't released like facial mugshots. I guess in Mexico they released a mugshot, but they blur the face so you can't, I guess, see who it is. But yeah, Ryan Friesen, guy that I played with at VIU, apparently he whacked his girlfriend. I got a call from one of the guys in the Mariners the other day.
I was he's like, oh, a Menno, too. He's a Mennonite. Ugh, a Friesen. Ugh, probably from the Steinbeck area.
No, he's a BC boy from Dawson Creek.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But one of the guys called me and they're like, Trav, did you hear? And I was like, yeah, I heard about the girl who got murdered. Dude, it was Freeze. It was a guy on our team, whacked her. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was never close to them. I never really had many conversations with them. I mean, just like when I'd be in the stands doing stats, which was every single game when I was scratched, every now and then when he'd be scratched, I'd talk to him like, hey, how's it going, man? Good to see you. But nothing really outside of that. But it's kind of crazy. It's like I was in the locker room with that dude and that dude whacked his girlfriend. Now, again, innocent until proven guilty. We don't know the full story. I tried getting some information out of some people. I never really got anything from what I could dig into, but yeah, what a crazy world. Whacked his old.
My heart goes out to that girl's family. Yeah, that's awful, awful, awful news. And I get that, you know, like you kind of think to yourself, my God, like I was in a dressing room with that guy, but you know, it's just really sad that some family has to, you know, continue on without their daughter after what they thought was a very romantic trip down to Mexico. So here we are.
Yeah, birthday weekend. Some father doesn't have a daughter. Some brother doesn't have a sister anymore. It's sad, but. Unfortunately, hopefully they can, I don't know, kind of a sad ending, but yeah, maybe this is a good time to end the podcast. What do you say, Dave? We're getting a little bit too sad here.
Yeah, I agree. Let's wrap this up. Shout out to Brent Scallions. Shout out to Johnny Arnott again. Shout out to everyone that supports this podcast, and especially those on Patreon. We really appreciate it. If you haven't signed up to be a Patreon member yet, you get hockey cards. You get hockey cards, signed hockey cards from very own Travis Ridgen. That's pretty cool.
Right here. Yes, if you sign up for the Patreon page, it's $5 a month to support the podcast for the minimum. You can pledge as much or as little as you want. Helps us out. And then if you are a member, you get my rookie cards from Motor City and last year in Sweden on the house for free. There's some more collector's cards and some other perks that I'm slowly starting to work on. So if you sign up, you'll get that as well. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the podcast as always. Dave and I do a new episode every Sunday. Dave has the top morning show in the city of Winnipeg at Energy 106 and has for over 20 years, the best morning show. And I'm very lucky to do this show with him. We're looking forward to doing an in-person episode when I go back to Winnipeg at the end of this month, beginning of April. And Mr. Wheeler, take us home.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next week. Hey, Winnipeg Jets, try winning a game. Thanks.
We'll see you next Sunday.